Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey, reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 1697. I was feeling fairly well today, and I was glad that I would be able to make the holy hour. But when I began to make the holy hour, my physical sufferings intensified, so that I was not able to pray. When the holy hour was over, my sufferings came to an end, and I complained to the Lord that I had wanted so much to steep myself in his sorrowful passion, but that my sufferings had not allowed me to do so. Then Jesus said to me, "My daughter, know that if I allow you to feel and have a more profound knowledge of my sufferings, that is a grace from me. But when your mind is dimmed and your sufferings are great, it is then that you take an active part in my passion, and I am conforming you more fully to myself. It is your task to submit yourself to my will at such times more than at others. I often attend upon the dying, and through entreaties obtain for them trust in God's mercy, and I implore God for an abundance of divine grace, which is always victorious. God's mercy sometimes touches the sinner at the last moment in a wondrous and mysterious way. Outwardly, it seems as if everything were lost, but it is not so. The soul, illumined by a ray of God's powerful final grace, turns to God in the last moment with such a power of love that in an instant it receives from God forgiveness of sin and punishment, while outwardly it shows no sign either of repentance or of contrition, because souls at that stage no longer react to external things. Oh, how beyond comprehension is God's mercy! But horror! There are also souls who voluntarily and consciously reject and scorn this grace. Although a person is at the point of death, the merciful God gives the soul that interior, vivid moment, so that if the soul is willing, it has the possibility of returning to God. But sometimes the obduracy in souls is so great that consciously they choose hell. They thus make useless all the prayers that other souls offer to God for them, and even the efforts of God Himself. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, solitude, my favorite moments, solitude, but always with you, Jesus and Lord. Close to your heart, time passes pleasantly for me, and close to Him, my soul finds its repose. When the heart is filled with you and overflowing with love, and the soul burns with pure fire, then, amidst the utmost desolation, the soul will not experience loneliness, because it rests on your bosom. O solitude, moments of supreme companionship, though I be abandoned by all creatures, I immerse myself totally in the ocean of your Godhead, and you listen sweetly to my confidences. This evening the Lord asked me, "Do you not have any desires in your heart?" I answered, "I have one great desire, and it is to be united with you forever." And the Lord answered me, "That will happen soon. My dearest child, your every stirring is reflected in my heart. My gaze rests kindly upon you before any other creature." I asked the Lord today that He might deign to teach me about the interior life. Because of myself, I can neither understand nor conceive anything perfectly. The Lord answered me, "I was your teacher, I am, and I will be. Strive to make your heart like unto my humble and gentle heart. Never claim your rights. Bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. Do not defend yourself when you are put to shame. though innocent. Let others triumph. Do not stop being good when you notice that your goodness is being abused. I myself will speak up for you when it is necessary. Be grateful for the smallest of my graces, because your gratitude compels me to grant you new graces. Saint Faustina here writes of feeling better and being happy to be able to make a holy hour, but then her physical sufferings become so bad that she couldn't pray. She lamented to Jesus that she had wanted to meditate on his passion during the holy hour. Instead, Jesus allowed her to experience and to feel his passion. It was probably difficult for Jesus to pray on the cross because of his physical sufferings. Jesus asks us to submit ourselves to his will always. Faustina writes of helping the dying to prepare to meet the Lord. She wins graces for them. She gives a beautiful insight here on God's mercy in the last moment of our lives. I remember the late Father Benedict Groeschel speaking about this point in the diary and being very impressed by it. Jesus wants us all to know that he will give us every possible chance to choose him, to convert, to choose heaven. But he will not force us. He respects our free will. So let's choose wisely. Saint Faustina writes an ode to solitude. She likes to be alone with Jesus. If we ever feel lonely, it is an invitation to turn to Jesus. He will be there for us, even if all others abandon us. And Jesus tells Faustina that she will be with him soon. This was just several months before her death. Faustina again asks Jesus to teach her about the interior life, the spiritual life. And he again gives her some very concrete, practical advice about detachment, patience, surrender, humility, and gratitude. Jesus promises to help her, and he will do the same for us if we open our heart to him.